Welcome to the Western New York Entrepreneur Podcast, helping Western New York entrepreneurs take the next step in their business. If you love Western New York and entrepreneurship, this is the podcast for you. Whether you have been in business for 20 years or 20 minutes, there is something for everyone. David Schaub interviews the top entrepreneurs in Western New York so you can take your next step in your own business.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode. I appreciate you joining us as always. Before we dive into today's guest, Lena, we actually, if you don't know this, I'm guessing you do, our RCPs are officially live for our next event. This event is on September 14th. It's a boat dock networking event where we're literally going to be on a boat dock in Tonawanda. Carefree Boat Club is literally hosting us right on the river, and we're going to be networking for probably one of the last great summer days or before the fall actually hits us. And then for those who get VIP tickets, you're going to have a sunset cruise after the boat dock networking event, and you're going to have wine and food. It's going to be such a great time. So if you have not RSVP'd yet and you are a member, you get the RSVP today before everybody else gets the RSVP. If you're a non-member and you want to become a member, you can sign up an RSVP today. If you don't feel like being a member, no worries at all. Your RSVP date is this Thursday, the 26th at noon. So if there's any tickets left over or whatever's left over, you will get a ticket. And I'm guessing there will be a few, so don't freak out. But anyways, we're so excited about this. Basically kiss the summer goodbye networking event. So thank you for everyone who's been a member and has RSVP'd so far. Anyways, let's get to our guest. We have Lena Levine. She is the founder and CEO of Forcoda. I loved Lena's story when we first met for coffee. So anyways, welcome to the show.
Thank you, David. Super excited to be here today.
Yeah, so you're in for a treat today, audience. So Lena, I'm just gonna dive right in. So what brought you to Buffalo? What is your entrepreneurial story? How did you start Forcoda? And then eventually, what does Forcoda do?
Yeah, absolutely. Very good question. So I came to Buffalo in 2009, right after I graduated university in Russia with a master's in computer science. So literally the few days I just defended my thesis, and I hopped right on the plane, and I landed in the U.S. So my dream was always to live in an English-speaking country, and I chose U.S. to pursue my dreams, which became the American dreams, really. I was studying here for a little bit, and then one thing led to another. I started pursuing my career in the web development, and that organically evolved into me starting and growing my business.
Yeah, so I gotta imagine it's very interesting going from Russia to Buffalo. So you settled in Buffalo because you went to NU. Am I correct on that?
I actually went to Niagara Community College.
Yeah, that's awesome. So Niagara Community College, obviously probably a little different from Russia. I've never been.
Oh, yeah.
Very different?
Absolutely.
And I know we're going to bounce off, but I'm just a curious person, so please don't mind my questions. So when you came from Russia to here, what do you think the biggest difference was, maybe cultural-wise or maybe the business-wise or just your experience in general?
Yeah, so when I landed in Buffalo and I started meeting people, the biggest thing that stood out to me about the city is how passionate people were about Buffalo and the energy that they had about the city and making it better and making the world around them better was so contagious that I got really excited to get involved as well with the community. And that's one of the things that motivated me to get involved with the Buffalo tech community, because the people that I've met on my journey while I was trying to make my way through the U.S. and, you know, make a living here, I met so many amazing and kind people that helped me in so many ways that motivated me to give it back, to give back to that next wave of entrepreneurs, women in technology, just, you know, people in tech community in general, and make sure that I can also support people that need that help.
Yeah, and don't mind me, by the way, I'm gonna go from here to there because I have really bad ADDs, but I wanted to know how that was. I didn't want to forget. So let's talk about your company, Forcoda. Mm-hmm. So if you can tell the audience, what is Forcoda? What do you guys focus on? What is your niche in a way? And I thought it was really cool what you guys do. And then how did you form that? What made you form that company?
Yeah, so Forcoda, we're a Buffalo-based digital agency, and we work with startups, established businesses, and we help them in many ways. One of the areas that we're focusing on is we help startups, early stage startups, to validate their product market fit and help them, also help them to start selling sooner, get to the market sooner, and help to secure the funding. And for the startups in the growth phase, we help them if they build any new feature. Again, we can also help them to validate that idea, new feature, test it with their existing audience, and just in general for the businesses, anyone who's looking to build software, web, mobile app development, mobile apps, or SaaS products, we help to take them from start to finish, from the idea phase all the way to the launch.
Yeah, so how long ago did you start this company? Because I really thought that was really cool how you basically, well, because so many people have so many good ideas, right? And I remember you were saying, like, so many people have a hard time going, okay, what? How do we get capital, do the tech software part? And but that being said, how many employees do you have, and how long ago did you start this?
Yeah, so it's 8 of us right now, and I started the company 7 years ago. It was just me.
Yeah, yeah, a lot of them. I mean, bootstrapping, right? Yeah. I love it. So that being said, a lot, as you're very well aware, and a lot of people, our audience knows, that a lot of it is who you know these days, right? And being connected. So obviously not being from the area, like, how did you get networked? How did you connect? Like, I would love to hear your perspective on that.
Oh my God, to be honest, that was super intimidating in the beginning, because coming from a different country and also diving into this entrepreneurship mindset was not my natural state. I'm coming from the family of engineers, so my idea was that I will be an engineer as well, working for a company, and that would be it. And switching into this entrepreneurial mindset and pushing myself out of the comfort zone, going out, meeting people, networking, was very new to me. But what happened, I just kept pushing myself out of the comfort zone, kept going to the events, and after some time, I start making friends. I start seeing the same familiar faces, and we start building those friendships and getting involved in each other, you know, businesses, being more supportive of each other, and that over time made me more comfortable and helped me to build my social skills.
Yeah, so you were going to be an engineer. Mm-hmm. Right. And then you, now obviously you're a business owner, you have 8 employees total. That's awesome. So what made you, like, did you just see such a big problem that you know you could solve? Or once you started networking, you're like, I love this. I love, like, the not the feel of it, for lack of better words, but what made you decide to go from, because that's a huge difference.
Absolutely.
So what made you do that?
Yeah, it was very organic transition. So I know how some people make a decision just, you know, to quit their job and dive right into it. For me, it was more organic. I freelanced for a little bit, and then over time, because I was doing a great job, if I say it so myself,
people
started referring business to me, and over time my business started growing, so I started adding more people to my team. And what motivates me, I really enjoy working with the clients, with the companies, and help them to solve the problems. I consider myself a problem solver. So for me, having been able to solve those challenges for my clients and help their business grow through the solutions that we provide to them is extremely rewarding experience, and just helping, being a part of the company's growth and seeing them succeed and, you know, get on that next level, that's what drives me. That's why I wake up in the morning.
Yeah, so when people hear a digital AG, my thing is like, okay, they do Facebook ads, things of this nature. But what I thought was so cool about your business was that you help people really, in fact, a lot of it was written down here, that you basically help people realize, hey, is there even a market for it? And how are we going to do the capital side of things, right? So I don't want to take your thunder away. So tell me how you kind of work with people on that part.
Yeah. So when we work with the startup founders, and especially early stage startup founders or the first time startup founders, right? When people decide to start a business, there are so many things that you don't know, right? And you don't know what you don't know. So when companies or the founders try to build a product, right, they might be an expert in their own field or an expert in that problem that they're trying to solve, but they might not have the bigger vision. They might not have a right idea how they should approach it in a way to make sure that they can follow the right steps to take their company from point A to point B and make sure they do it in a capital efficient way, right, because the funding is always a big problem for the startup founders. To make sure that they follow the right steps to nail that problem solution, right? Mm-hmm. So what we do, and just take a step back, a few mistakes that I see startup founders mm-hmm. make when they get into the start building the companies is that they typically, first of all, they keep their idea very, very private. Mm-hmm. You know how sometimes you talk to the people and they're just like, oh, this is top secret idea. I don't want to share it with anybody.
Yeah, I don't want to steal it.
Yeah, I don't want you to steal it, right? And I totally get it where they're coming from. But that's actually a very counterproductive way to approach things because you need to put your idea out there. You need to get feedback. You need to talk to people in your target audience to see, is that, are you approaching things in the right way? Does your vision match their, the problem that they have and how they see that solution working? Because what happens, founders create they build a solution based on their own assumptions, and they design something for themselves instead of designing it for their customers, mm-hmm. which is, that's what we should be always keeping in mind, the end user and customer. And when we work with the startups, we emphasize those first steps of the process, which is doing the customer research, doing the customer interviews, to make sure that we can get that first step right, to make sure that the vision of the founder matches the problem that their audience is experiencing, and make sure that the solution that we design and build later actually solves that number one problem for them. Because again, what happens sometimes, founders have this big vision for their company, and they think, oh my God, everybody gonna pay for this, right? Yeah. But then we go and we do the research, and some people, for people that might not be the top problem that they're experiencing at mm-hmm. the moment, or maybe they don't have money to pay for it because the niche audience that the
company it's gonna be lower income and their returns won't cover it or something, yeah.
Exactly. So you have to keep all those things in mind, and if you don't go out there and do the research, you wouldn't know that. And what happens, the companies usually find it out too late by the time that when they invest the time and money mm-hmm. designing, building those products, and only once they launched, then they take it to the market, and sometimes, you know, they don't make it. they don't make it, yeah, because they wasted time, they wasted budget. Maybe, you know, now they have to go back to the square one, mm-hmm. and at that time, their competitors might beat them to the market,
the punch, yeah.
Because, yeah, being number one is also extremely important. So, yeah, there are so many different factors in play, and that's why we always emphasize for our clients that it's extremely important to follow those steps, and it might take a little bit more time up front, mm-hmm. but in the long run, it will save you so much time and money.
Yeah, it's kind of, to me, the analogy of a slingshot comes to mind when you're like, well, I'm going back, I want to go forward, but it's like the slingshot. We're pulling you back. Well, what do you mean you're pulling back? You're holding me back. That's not cool. I'm going backwards. We're not even moving forward. But then when you go back and you obviously release the slingshot, yep. now they're ahead.
Absolutely.
So I think that's so smart. And so many times when I talk to business owners, being over 100 episodes now, oh, I've learned this. I wish I knew that. So what's really cool is you guys take that all together and do a lot of, and you know, sometimes we're so emotionally involved as a business owner because we're mm-hmm. so excited, we're so passionate that we don't see all these different problems or different perspectives on things. So that's cool that you do that. So so what are some other common mistakes that you see first-time startup founders making besides the one you just mentioned?
Yeah, I would say also jumping right into building a software. So again, the founder spending time and money to develop something before they refine the idea, so that like the further you go in the process, the more expensive it becomes to change something. So also startup founders starting to fundraise way too early in the process when they don't have that product market fit validated, or they don't have a traction with the market yet, so that meaning they don't have any sales or pre-sales. So just like rushing through the process without putting proper foundation in place, I would say that's the common, the most common mistakes that the founders make, and like that cost them time and money.
Are you overwhelmed with the endless lists of marketing tasks that face your business? You know your marketing needs to be done and done well, but you don't have the time or resources to do it on your own. That's where Allison Kelly Design can help. Allison Kelly Design is a full-scale marketing agency that helps you build a brand that speaks to your value. We offer everything your business needs to hit the ground running and maximize your revenue, including brand development services, graphic and web design, search engine optimization, Google Ads management, email marketing, and social media content creation and management. Book a free discovery call at alysonkellydesign.com or call us at 716-249-0993. Allison Kelly Design. Build a brand that speaks to your value.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And so, I mean, this is where my brain goes. Tell me if I'm completely off here. So I'm sitting here going, that sounds awesome. I basically have someone in my corner working with me to really, again, that doesn't have an emotional attachment to what I'm doing, mm-hmm. so they can make clear, better decisions, bring a different perspective. Mm-hmm. How much does that cost? Like, I know, is that a horrible question to answer? Because I'm sure every project is different with a lot of different, you know, I don't know, plans and whatnot, but I'm sure people wonder, like, well, what does that cost? Because, you know, I mentioned startups don't have much money to deal with. So do you usually just take equity, or do you just charge them hourly rate? Is there like a lawyer is a flat rate fee? And when we get to this, there's mm-hmm. – so I'm sorry if that's a weird question to ask.
No, that's a great question. And to answer it, there is no, you know, one size-fits-all solution, right? So usually when we talk to different companies, we try to – we tailor the budget to their needs, because somebody who's starting out and they just like need a small prototype design versus the company that has, hundreds of pages app, that will be completely different amount of work in terms of the, you know, how much time and effort, how many screens we need to design. But the process would be the same for all the companies, whether you're just starting out, whether you are, established business, and that's the beauty of the process is the secret sauce. And one thing that I want to mention is that investing in the quality UX UI design is a smart financial decision on the for the startup founders, because based according to the research, and you can look it up by Nielsen Norman Group. This is one of the leading research organizations in the U.S., and they specialize in the UX UI design. Based on this research, they measured around 100 different metrics, and what they noticed, they measured how redesigning redesign of the application of the website, how it affected all those metrics, and they averaged it out, and overall return on the quality UX UI design improvements was 150%. Mm-hmm. So doesn't matter, it might seem like you're making a big investment up front, mm-hmm. but honestly, it will be worth it at the end, because, and I will tell you why, and because that's something that founders don't think about, but when you design the product, right, and you're in that phase of creating a design, the prototype, you can actually leverage that design prototype to do so many things, which is you can start selling sooner, right? You can have an interactive prototype, and you can take it to your target audience, and you can, you know, use it during the presentations. You can do live demos. It's actually, if we compare financial costs, design prototype versus the software prototype, is actually much more cost effective. So they are saving money, by investing in a quality design. So also the founders can use design prototype for fundraising. Mm-hmm. And in fact, we have one of our clients, they raised $1.2 million by leveraging interactive design prototype, and investors were super impressed. They're like, oh my God, people come to us usually with this paper napkin drawing, yeah. right? And you guys have this, you know, high quality visual, and we clearly understand what you're trying to do here. You know, it also makes it for the founders to communicate the idea for their product when they talk to investors, potential customers. So again, they can leverage it to start selling sooner, to start fundraising, and
Proof of concept too.
Proof of concept, yeah. And actually, you get way higher return on your investment, because you have this quality, you know, visual that makes it, you know, easier for everyone to get on the same page, and makes it easier for you to sell your idea.
And you're totally great. And you want to think a lot of time, what's really cool about it too is it basically separates the people that are serious versus mm-hmm. this is a cool idea. I hope, you know, maybe it'll work, versus I'm all in.
Yeah.
You know, so I think that's to me, that would say something to me if I was an investor. Okay, these people are actually have taken the time and effort and the money to do this and the research versus this person's bringing a napkin and I can't bring this napkin to other people.
100%. And I was looking at the data reported by PitchBook, and that was reported the last year by them. And they compared what investors were looking at, you know, previous years when they evaluate the companies and what they were looking at the last year. And percentage of companies that, you know, have done their homework and like versus, you know, having like all-star team on your company and like being prepared and doing your homework in advance, you know, getting that traction with the market. Actually having that homework piece was, you know, valued way more and was more important to investors than other pieces of the, you know, components
right.
of the company.
Because you know what, it takes a lot of thinking out of it, right? A confused customer never buys. So if I'm sitting here going, there's no actual, I hate the word using the word facts, but there's no proof yet here mm-hmm. of like, so now they're trying to do the homework in their head real quick.
Right.
Where versus the homework's already done based on A, B, C, and D and right. all the research we've done. And also having a company to help do that. Like, yeah, based on, this isn't just our opinion. This is actually someone else's that we've
right.
worked with
yeah.
that is unbiased in this. To me, that shows more proof.
Yeah.
And I totally understand that. So my next question is should startup founders consider raising funding or try bootstrapping?
Yeah, that's a very good question. So I'm a big proponent for the startup founders to focus on getting sales and like self-funding first. And again, just going back to the design prototypes, right, and interactive prototypes, the startup founders can, you know, with a, you know, relatively small investment, they can, you know, leverage that to start selling sooner, start getting the cash flow going and leverage those money to build that, to develop that application, you know, based on the pre-sales. And right now we're working with a customer, right? They, you know, they got a ton of pre-sales from their customers and now those money are going to design and develop the software. So, mm-hmm. which is very organic, very like, I would say like easier to manage way. And it, you know, makes you, you know, you don't depend on somebody else, right? You don't have to, you know, report to somebody and have their say over your company and your vision. So, but what I would say about fundraising, it's, you know, I'm not against it. Like if you, you know, as a startup, as a company, you would like to scale faster and you validated your product market fit, you have something, you got traction and you want to accelerate your growth, then in my opinion, that is a great time to start getting some infusion of the capital to use that money to just like go even faster.
Mm-hmm.
So if you like really want to kind of like go full speed forward and, you know, accelerate your growth, that's where the funding comes into place.
Yeah, and I know we're not going to get crazy in depth here with this for this answer, mm-hmm. the question I'm about to ask here. So we're speaking very general because every situation is different.
Absolutely.
I get it.
Yeah.
And it's really hard to make a canned answer, but I'll try anyway. So for those that are thinking about going from the funding versus bootstrapping, or they have enough proof of concept, any things that they should watch out for? I mean, I'm sure there's people like, oh, kind of like you see from my perspective, you see Shark Tank, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're like, oh, I'll give you $250,000, but you're going to be 30%. They're like, well, that's like a third of the company, right?
Yeah.
So sometimes you see people that are maybe desperate or just so hungry to get their success or to bring their product to market is going to solve problems. So is there anything you think people should watch out for when they're going for funding or doing some seeding around? Anything you kind of noticed?
Absolutely. You definitely want to look for the smart money. And what I mean by that, you want to align yourself with investors that understand your market, understand your product, and that actually not only can help you by providing the capital for your startup, but actually can open the doors for you and support your business in other, you know, other ways rather than the financing, because that, you know, being a business with somebody, right, it's like being married,
yeah,
and if not more complicated. So you definitely want to make sure that you align yourself with the right people, because I've talked to so many startup founders that stress out about the investors and all the different, you know, deadlines that they need to hit, and just like it puts additional pressure on the founders and the company. So making sure that you surround yourself with the people that are on the same page with you, that understand potential, maybe they already been there, done that, so they can help you accelerate that process again through their experience and help you avoid, you know, different mistakes that you might not foresee down the line. So yeah, I would say that would be my biggest piece of advice.
Yeah, and I think it's great. You're totally right, because you're stuck with them in a way, right? That being said, that is basically all the time we have here today. So I really appreciate your time, Lena. For those that really like just jive with you, or they're like, oh, I wish they've asked this question, or I have this specific question I'd like to ask, what is the best way for people to reach out to you? Maybe it's a phone number, maybe it's an email address, or what's the best way for people to get in contact with you?
Yeah, they can find us online. Our website is forcoda.com. It's F-O-R-C-O-D-A. And or you can email me directly at hello@forcoda.com. And yeah, if you have any questions about UX/UI design, SaaS product development, I'd be happy to answer them. Even if you want to just pick my brain and kind of get a feedback on the idea you're working on. I promise I'm not going to steal it. So, yeah, feel free to reach out, and I'd be happy to help out in any way I can.
Yeah. So, is it safe to say that you're a Western New Yorker for life, or is that too?
Yes.
Permanent. I don't know how
to
put it.
Go Bills.
Yeah. Go Bills. Exactly. Go Bills. All right. So again, what I really love about Lena is she reached out to me and says, "Hey, I'd love to grab a cup of coffee and just, you know, talk about." Because I've seen you at networking events. Mm-hmm. So again, going back to the audience real quick. So if you guys, again, if you know someone who's just an amazing entrepreneur that you think should be on the podcast, or maybe that's you, you're like, I think I should be on here. I'm a full-time thriving entrepreneur based in Western New York. Feel free to reach out. We're booked about 5 weeks in advance right now. But again, we're always putting great people on the pipeline, scheduling them ahead of time. People like Lena, who has such an awesome story to where she is today. It's awesome. So that being said, thank you again for our listeners out there. We appreciate it. Don't forget to subscribe. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast. Leave a review. Give us a rating and subscribe to our email list. And we'll see a bunch of you at our next event for the Boat Dock networking event.
If you loved listening to the Western New York Entrepreneurs Podcast and want more, subscribe to it and head on over to WNYEntrepreneur.com. For articles, what's coming up next, and to get involved. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.